excuse me, 119. And we're going to read a couple of verses, and then I want to, this is a real simple message this morning. And I think sometimes we need to stay really simple so we can focus on the things that really matter. But in Psalms 119, verse 65, it says, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." And that last verse is what I really want to talk about, that God is good and he does good. It's real simple. He's good all the time. He's good all the time. And he only does good all the time. And the reason that I want to talk about it this morning is because I want to make sure that we as a people, the people of God, that we have the right attitude about who God is, that we see him as he is and we don't see him in some twisted or perverted way, but he is good and he only does good. And you might not always see that with your eyes looking around at what's going on in your life. Sometimes you look around at your life and you're thinking, wow, where's the good in this? But it is true that God is good and he only does good. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. That's my two points. God's good. The second point is he does good. So it's going to be real simple to follow. And I'm hoping that you'll have a clearer understanding of who God is and how all this relates to our lives every day, because there's good stuff that happens to you and there's bad stuff. But that doesn't change who God is. And if we can keep our eyes on the Lord and we stay focused on him, who he is, and what he is trying to accomplish in our lives, then all the stuff that goes on, it won't affect us the same way. We can still worship, we can still be enthusiastic, we can still be joyful, we can still have peace, we can be excited about God, even though maybe our lives are kind of messed up. And how many of you have ever had a messed up life? Amen. So let's pray right quick before we start. Lord, thank you for your word. I thank you that you are a good God. I thank you that you want to speak to us, and not only speak to us, but you want to bring revelation to each one of us to see you as you are, Lord, to see you in all of your goodness and all of your glory. And we ask that you do that this morning, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In that verse, he is good and does good. There's two different words used for good. The first one is tob, and it means that it's just good. The second word is tob, and they're spelled basically the same, but one of them has a little tilde over it, or whatever that thing's called, a little pointy arrow. And that means that he does good or makes better. And so, trying to come up with a catchy name for this message this morning, good and gooder. Good and gooder, that's probably not good English, but that's what God is. He's good, and he does gooder in our lives. He wants to do good and make better. And so I think it's important to see that, because as we read through Scripture, we see a lot of things that on the surface don't look so good. And like I said, in our lives, we have experiences that might not appear so good. But this whole thing about God being good, it's throughout the Scripture. Words good, goodness, His glory and his goodness are kind of interchangeable, because that's part of who he is. It is a description of God's character and his name. Moses, when he was getting ready to lead the children of Israel, he said, "Lord, you know, you've given me this great job to do, but you know, I want to know you. I don't want to lead these people if I don't know you." And he said, "Reveal your glory to me." And you know what God says? He says, "I'm going to cause all of my goodness to pass before you." I think that is such a great understanding, that his goodness is part of a description of who God is. It's part of his glory. That's part of his very character and nature, his goodness. And if you read that in Exodus, flip over to 33 is where he says that, but in 34, it says that in verse 5, "Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Now, the reason I read those last verses is because I don't want you to misunderstand. God is good, but he is just, and his goodness doesn't negate his justice. In John 3:36, it says, "He who believes in the Son has life, and he who does not believe, the wrath of God abides on him." And so, if you don't know Jesus, then you are living in the wrath of God, and you are facing an eternal destiny that is not one that you want, believe me. Now, you know, we believe in a real heaven, a real hell, a real God, a real devil. I mean, you know, we that's what the scripture says. We believe that. And I want you to understand that if you don't know Jesus, you are bound to an eternity of torment and suffering in hell, separated from God forever. And, you know, we don't talk about that a lot because most everybody that comes to our church is a believer, and we accept that. But I want you to understand, we talk about God's goodness, but you deal with people outside of these four walls that need to hear that God is good. And did you know Romans 2 says there's a goodness of God that leads us to repentance? It's God's goodness that causes us to want to come to him and experience all of his goodness. How about that? His goodness is what causes us to be able to experience his goodness. So he is a God of justice. He will never do anything contrary to his character. That's what his sovereignty is all about. He is who he says he is, and he'll do what he said he would do. That's what he is. That's who God is. But he's also, because of his justice, he's not going to allow people to come into fellowship with him except through the blood of Jesus. That's the revealed truth. That's just the way it is. So as we talk about God's goodness, I want you to understand that there is the side of justice. The Bible says that it's appointed for every man to die, and after that, judgment. If you're a believer, that judgment is it's just passing through, and everything's good. You get judged for your works, but it doesn't affect whether you go to heaven or not. If you're an unbeliever, it's a whole different story. And so we need to be aware that God is a God of love and mercy and goodness, but he's also just. He doesn't not enforce his word, good and bad. And if you choose to go through this entire life without knowing Christ, and you take your last breath, then I just want you to know you are going to experience the wrath of God, and it is not going to be something you want. And let that inspire you and motivate you to talk to friends and family, people that don't know the Lord. And if you're not sure, just be bold and say, "Hey, look what God did in my life," and he wants to do the same thing for you. Have you ever asked Jesus to come live in your heart, forgive your sins, and be your Lord? And they can tell you yes or no, but don't be afraid to ask. It's good to ask people. Let them have to make a commitment. By the way, hell was not created for man. You know, that's part of this whole thing about God's goodness. He didn't intend for men to go to hell, but the Bible tells us that hell was created for the devil and his angels. So there will be men that go there because they choose to follow the devil rather than God. That's basically the only two choices. Jesus said, you know, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he said, "You guys don't know God." And they said, "Well, you know, we've got no father but God." And he said, "No." He said, "Your father's the devil. Because if you knew the Father, you would know me and you would love me and you would listen to me because I'm saying and doing what the Father says and does." Basically, he made it real clear. There's only one side that you can be on. You know, there's no in the middle. You can't be half in or half out. You either are or you aren't. You're either a believer or you aren't. You're either bound for glory or you're bound for hell. That's just the truth. And so think about that as you go about your business every day and you're talking with people. Think about eternal things. And instead of just talking about the cowboy game or something, you know, that happened, think about talking about eternal things, because that's the stuff that's going to matter. You're talking to people, if they don't know the Lord, I mean, it's an opportunity. And you never know. People have accidents, things happen. We've had folks right here in our fellowship that, you know, they're here one day and then the next day they're not. I mean, that's uncertainty of life. And so every time you're dealing with someone who is an unbeliever, it may be your last time to speak to that person. So just be mindful of that. I'm not trying to put you in a guilt trip or anything, but we need to be thinking about eternal things all the time. Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day, because in the night, nobody can work. And this is day. This is daytime for us. This is time for us to do stuff. Because once we or someone else passes from this life, chances are all over and done with. You gotta make hay right now while you can. So God is good, and he only does good. God is good. Throughout the Old Testament, the expression, he is good and his mercy endures forever, is used over and over again. God is good. They understood that. They were the people of God, and they understood that he was good, even though they knew that if they messed up, they probably would experience his judgment. But the ones that really understood that, they didn't focus on the judgment. They focused on the fact that God is good and his mercy endures forever. They understood that his goodness and his mercy goes beyond his judgment, because he's always wanting to restore us and bring good into our lives. Jesus in John 10 said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That would be the devil. He only wants to do bad stuff to you. Big difference between God and the devil is God wants to do good, the devil wants to do bad. The devil wants to kill you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy you and mess you up. God wants to heal you, restore you, redeem you, set you free. God wants to give you the abundant life. He wants to do all the good stuff. The next verse in John 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Notice he didn't say, I'm the okay shepherd, or I'm the sort of good shepherd, or he is the good shepherd. And that's all he is. We have to see that God is good all the time. There is no variation. There's no changing. You know, we have this scripture here, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He is good, and he wants to do good in our lives. You have to be convinced of that. You have to be convinced of that so that when you're going through the hard times, you see God is good. Even though you see bad things happening, maybe you understand that God is good and he is out to do good in our lives. In creation, speaking now of God doing good, all the days of creation, you know, let there be light, there was light. What did he say? It's good. Every day, it's good, it's good. And he came to the creation of man, and he said, it's very good. God is good, and he does good. All the things that God does are good. Now, I know you're probably thinking in your mind of some scripture or some experience or something. You're thinking, well, where is the good in this? Yeah. Well, you don't have to always see the good, because sometimes you can only see the good when you look back. When Tracy had cancer, I didn't see the good. And she didn't either. And we're still, you know, there's a lot of things that aren't good. And yet, in looking back at it, I see how that God did so much good in my life that I don't even think about the cancer, because I think about God's goodness. And I see that God was working his good in me and through me all that time, even when I didn't see it. At the time, all I saw was pain and misery and inconvenience and suffering and heartache and fear and despair and discouragement, all that stuff. That's what I was focusing on. And then I got to the place where it was like, you know, I'm going to praise God, I'm going to worship God, even though this is all messed up, because I know God is good and he does good. And when I began to set my heart to proclaim that and worship him, God changed me. He changed me. And right now, that's why this means so much to me, because I've come to the place that I think I understand it for the most part, that God is good and he does good. And if we can see that, then when stuff is going wrong, instead of getting all twisted up over it and getting all discouraged over it, you can begin to focus on God's goodness. And it changes everything. Your circumstances may not change at all, but if your heart changes, then everything changes. And that's what I want you to understand, is that when we see God as good and that He does good, then all the stuff that we go through, good or bad, I mean, we can be focused on Him, we can be worshiping, we can praise Him, we can be filled with joy and peace and love and all the fruits of the Spirit, kindness and gentleness, you know, all that good stuff. We can focus on that because we realize that that's who God is, and that's what He wants to do in our lives. In Nehemiah, he said, "The good hand of the Lord is upon me." That's such a cool thought, you know, to think about that the good hand of the Lord is upon us. And that's part of what I want you to understand, is that all the time we are in God's hands. His hand is on our lives. You know, we don't see it a lot of times. We might not even feel it. But we have to have a mindset that I know that God's good hand is upon me. And when we begin to think that way, we begin to respond to life that way, that, hey, you know, I'm not just out here on my own. I'm not just stumbling along in the darkness, trying to grope along and find my way. But we are His children, and we're walking in all of His goodness, and we're walking in all of His blessings and His mercy. Might not see it exactly right that minute, but we know that it is the truth because that's who God is. And we know that the good hand of the Lord is on us all the time. At the very end of the whole book of Nehemiah, His final words were, "Remember me, O my God, for good." Hallelujah. God is always working good in us. You have to believe that. You've got to believe that God is working good in you all the time. And there's example after example. I'm not going to be able to go through, you know, I didn't even try to research all this. I could have talked for hours about this, but just taking a few of the real simple points. Philippians, it says, Philippians 2:13, it said, "It is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." He's working in you. Not only is he working it in you, but he's given you the ability and the desire to do good because God is doing good in you. That's pretty cool to think about. God is, He fulfills both sides. You understand that? He calls us to do it, but then He empowers us to do it. That's what the new covenant is all about. You know, Jesus made this covenant. The old covenant was you obey and you get to walk with me. The new covenant is I've obeyed and you just accept my sacrifice and you enter in by faith and you get all the benefits. And so God fulfills both sides of the covenant and the new covenant. And our only obligation is to have faith. So Jesus was the covenant sacrifice, and God is fulfilling the promises of the covenant, and we just get to walk in the fullness of it all by faith. God is working good in us all the time. In Ephesians 3, I want to read a passage to you here, and it's kind of long, and you're familiar with it. It's something that we talk about pretty frequently, but I think it's important that we read all of this because it is so good. Beginning in verse 16, now this is Paul praying, and he says, "That God would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." I think that would qualify for good. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. "To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Now, God is wanting to work good in our lives all the time. And in he says in Hebrews 13 that he is working in us to complete us, to every good work, to do his will, to be well-pleasing in his sight. That's what God is doing in us. So we're back to this thing again where he's told us to do certain things, and then he's given us the ability and making a way and helping us become those things. We have to understand that our part is just to have faith and walk in it. It's important that we walk by faith, not by sight, because what you see sometimes is not what you get. Sometimes you get what you see, but so it's really important though to walk by faith and know what God says about you. That way, when you see the other stuff going on around you, you're not thinking, "Oh no, you know, God's failed me. God's let me down. He's not keeping his part of the deal," because we are absolutely convinced of God's goodness, and we know that he is going to do good. That's all he's going to do is good in our lives. And so then we look at those circumstances, we say, it doesn't matter, because I know who I believed in, and I know he is able to keep what I've committed him until that day, and it's going to be okay, because I know that God is good and he does good. That's all he does all the time. That's all he ever does is good. Got to get convinced of that so that you don't allow the negative stuff to get you down, get you off the main course, keeping the main thing. And then you know the story about Joseph, how that he said, "You guys meant this for evil, for bad, but God meant it for good." You think Joseph got it? You think he understood that God was all about good and doing good? Because otherwise, he'd have been saying, "Yeah, you know, you bunch of rats, you done me wrong, and I'm going to pay you back now because I'm in charge." But he had understood that. Even while he was going through those terrible times, I think he understood that it was the goodness of God that was working in him. Romans 8, you know, we read this passage all the time too, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." All things work together for good to those who love God. "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren." Aha! There it is. So all this stuff, he's working good in our lives. And why? It's because he wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's why we experience negative things sometimes. That's why, you know, we have good things, bad things, indifferent things, whatever kind of things. God is working good. Out of all that we experience, he is working good in us. He's very efficient. He uses everything. I'm not saying that he does the bad stuff so he can bring good out of it, but when bad stuff happens, God works good. You know, I don't believe God gave Tracy cancer, but he certainly did good in our lives after working through all that. And I think that's really important to know, that God is working good all the time. If you keep reading, it says, "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Who he justified, he also glorified." So he just keeps on going, talking about how, you know, God's doing it. God's doing it. He called you, he predestined you, he foreknew, he justified you, sanctifies you. I mean, he's just everything. God is doing it. Why? Because he's good and he does good. That's what God is. That's what he does. He is good and he does good. You keep reading, it says, "So what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" That sounds like good. God's going to give us freely all things. "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Those are the things that I'm talking to you about that aren't so good. It's kind of hard to see how those things are good, but God is working good in our lives. He said, as is written, for your sake we're killed all day long. We were slaughtered as counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded God is good and he only does good. Now, what Paul says is a little different, but that's what he's saying. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life or angels or principalities or powers or things present or things to come, height nor depth or any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is good and he only wants to do good in our lives. What he is trying to do is to accomplish his purposes, and he uses all the stuff, good or bad, every experience of life, every struggle we go through, every challenge we face, every joy, every breakthrough, every good thing and bad thing, God uses those because he's trying to work good in our lives and conform us to the image of his Son. And when we come to the place where we understand that's who God is and that's what he's doing, then we'll be like Paul and we'll say, I'm persuaded, baby. Ain't nobody, ain't nothing anywhere can separate me from the love of God because I know he is good and he's only doing good in me. You can get excited about that. It's okay to get excited about God's goodness. In Joshua, I'm not going to read it, but he said, I just want you to know, he said, I'm fixing to die and I'm going to be gone, but I'm telling you that you can look and you can testify, there's not one thing of all the good that God promised to you that has failed to come to pass. Every single thing that God promised you has come to pass. That's a pretty cool testimony because that was a big promise. Joshua was convinced of God's goodness and that God was only doing good in their lives. Now, he went on and warned them. He said, but you know, if you mess up, you're gonna lose out. The fruit of the Spirit is a good example of God's goodness word. Matter of fact, goodness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And that word goodness there is the same, it's the same word that's in another, it's only used four times in the New Testament. But it's got the thought that you're good and you're doing good. It's kind of a combination. And that's who God is. He is good and he's doing good. And he wants that to be the way we are. He wants us to be good and to do good because we're supposed to have the same nature and character of our Father. Matter of fact, the word kindness is very similar to goodness, and it's one of the fruits of the Spirit also. Kindness is acting out goodness. Goodness is who you are and what you're doing, and kindness is the way that you show that, the way you live it out in everyday life. So God is wanting to work all this stuff in us. He's wanting us to understand that he is working good in our lives. It's not just a bunch of routine and rote. God is wanting us to understand that he's always there working in our lives. Always working good in our lives. And when you understand that, you will fare much better when you go through struggles. And you will be able to walk through struggles with joy, and you'll be able to rejoice. You'll be able to take challenges, and instead of saying, oh no, you'll be saying, yee-haw, God, you are on the throne, and I'm going to praise and worship you because I know that you are worthy of all of my praise. Amen? All right. Worship team, y'all can come back. And then as they're coming, I just want you to think about this, that we need to see God as being good all the time. Now, I don't know how each of you respond to challenges, but I would hope that if you're a believer, you would be thinking in terms of how God expects us to respond. And the way he expects us to respond is to always acknowledge him and always give him the glory and honor and praise that is due his name, because that's who God is. And if we begin to worship and honor God that way, begin to think of Him as being good and only doing good in our lives, I promise you will be so much happier. You will feel complete, and you'll feel whole, and you'll feel comfortable. You won't be going around fearful and anxious about everything. Doesn't mean you're going to understand everything, but you can walk through difficult things in life without just feeling frustrated all the time. I've had my share of frustrations. I've had my share of times where I was frustrated and I wasn't thinking about the Lord the way that I should have been. But I promise you, if you'll do that, when circumstances are coming up, if you'll respond that way by saying, God, You are good and Your mercy endures forever and You only are working good in my life and I'm going to worship You and honor You. If you begin to respond that way, you'll get happy about your circumstances, even though they might not be favorable. You can get happy about anything that's going on in life because you're thinking about God and who He is. So as we stand and worship, I just want to encourage you, think about God's goodness. Wow. He is chasing us down to pour out His goodness on us. Think about that. God is pursuing us to work good in our lives. Always. What a thrill to know that God is wanting to work good in our lives. Amen. You understand that God is not, he's not making a new and better us. He's making us into the image of his Son. That is a new and better us, but it's not just an improvement on the old man. We're a new creation. We're not even the same anymore. He wants to transform us fully. That happens as we walk with him and experience him in all of his fullness and glory. We begin to acknowledge him in all of our ways. You know, it might be that you don't really understand all I'm talking about, because maybe you've never really made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. If that's the case, then I don't want you to leave here today without having an opportunity to do that. If you need Jesus, I want you to come down to the front here in a little bit and pray. Someone will meet you here and talk with you and lead you in prayer. You can't experience God and all of his goodness until you meet Jesus, because that's when it all begins. It's not the end, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of walking with the Lord and beginning to figure out all that he wants to do in your life and how he wants to change things and make things new. And all the brokenness and the mess. If you're here this morning and maybe you've got some twisted way of thinking about God that doesn't allow you to see him as good all the time, I just want to encourage you. That is not the way we need to view God. If you can't see God as a good father that loves you and wants to do good and only good in your life, I'd encourage you to get someone to pray with you. Come let someone pray with you and help you get free of that so that you can begin to see God the way that he truly is. We need to understand that God is good and he only does good. Anything else that you're thinking about God, you need to seriously look at that, because God is good and he only does good.
These heavy chains wipe away every stain. No, I'm not. meant to be. The old man inside of me, 'cause his day is long dead and gone. I've got a new name, a new life. I'm not the same, and I hope will carry me home. I don't have to be the old man inside of me, 'cause his day is long dead and gone. I've got a new name, a new life. I'm not the same, and I hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. I am
Oh, thank you, Father. You are such a good, good Father. Thank you, Lord God. And we want to go out of here with a heart that is changed to see you as a good Father, a good God that only does good all the time, every time, without fail. You are good and you only do good. Help us to see that, Lord God, so that we can walk in the victorious life that you've called us to, that we can be the more than conquerors that you've called us to, that we can be who you say we are and not walk around beat down, discouraged, thinking about bad things, but help us to think about your goodness. Oh, God, we need you this morning and all of your goodness and glory. Fill us up and change us, oh, God, so that we'll be the people you called us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you need prayer, I'll just invite you to come. Get someone by the hand and say, pray with me. Someone will meet you here at the altar. Whatever your needs are, God is here to, he's here to do something special in your life. He's always here for that. We just need to ask. We just need to ask. He wants to do good in you, through you, and for you. Help us, Lord God. Help us to walk in all of your goodness, to act out your goodness by being kind to people, that your love and your mercy would flow out of us, Lord, that we would walk around in this life every day with rivers of living water gushing out of us to everybody around us. So God, we need you to fill us, stir us and change us so that your love and your light flow out of us to this lost world that we walk in every day. Go with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and grant you all of his peace. Enjoy your fellowship. If you need prayer, don't run off. Come and let God heal you. He'll heal you. He'll set you free. Whatever you need, God is here to meet that. Love you guys. Have a great day.